Hey guys, it's Eileen Asher. I'm the host of Artists with Anxiety, coming at you with another episode. I'm going to be completely honest that I am absolutely exhausted. I really didn't want to record this today. I wanted to put it off, but unfortunately, I'm recording this on the 28th, and I will have it up on the 1st, but my timeline does not give me enough time to actually sit and edit, unfortunately, this week, so I'm doing it today, and I'm really tired, and eventually I'll talk about boundaries, but today I'm gonna push through and just do what I gotta do today. So, I don't have a guest today. It is actually gonna be just me. It's been a hell of a last couple weeks. I've been in and out of meetings and networking events and conferences, and I actually took a vacation. Believe it or not, it was only for 2.5 days, but my partner and I got to go out of town to a Pride Festival in Cuyahoga Falls, where my family grew up. My dad's side of the family grew up, has a special place in my heart. So I did actually get to take a break recently. I'm back to work at my new job at the ESC. So I've been in and out of, like I said, conferences, meetings upon meetings upon meetings. I've been trying to get a couple marketing certifications under my belt, and I've also been working on the next couple episodes of AWA, so be looking for those. So I've just been absolutely exhausted. So today, which I think is actually quite relevant, is I'm going to be talking about imposter syndrome, which is something that I definitely very much identify with. And I guess the first things first is talking about the definition. The actual Oxford Dictionary definition of imposter syndrome is the persistent inability to believe that one's success is deserved or has been legitimately achieved as a result of one's own efforts or skills. So basically, you don't believe that you deserve to be in the position that you're in. I am so, so very guilty of this. Normally, with the research that I've done, and I'll talk about mostly just my experiences with it, with the research that I've done, it happens a lot in college students, but it's also very prevalent within the workforce as well. I absolutely believe that this is true, especially with my career path, that my degree, my bachelor's is in graphic design. And when I got out of college, a couple of my first jobs were graphic design based, and that was fine, and I loved it, and I felt great. I knew exactly what I was doing. I felt like I could call the shots, but it wasn't until current job I'm at, and my last job, that I moved into more marketing positions, and I all of a sudden felt I wasn't trained, and I wasn't, but some of my freelance work that I had done for certain clients, I had taken a couple small-time jobs in between, full-time jobs where I had to do a lot of trial-by-fire marketing. So that's where I got all of my experience. So especially the past two jobs where I might not know the specific terminology and vocabulary that a lot of traditionally trained marketers might have, but I have the knowledge and the skills. But even there are some days, even at my current job that I love, and at my last job that I really liked as well, there are days I did not think that I belong there, and I would have panic attacks because I would just be straight up freaking out that I really, really, really didn't believe that I belong there, despite the fact that I'm an intelligent woman. I work incredibly hard to get where I'm at, just because that I might not necessarily be trained in design. Marketing does play a lot of, they do go hand in hand in the workforce especially. So it made sense, and I kept having to remind myself that I belonged there, that I was intelligent enough, I was smart enough, I was capable enough to be in these positions. And talking with a lot of my friends, they felt the exact same way, especially the artists, that while they are self-taught, they didn't learn this, this, and this, they don't know how to do this, they really shouldn't be there, and which is a whole other episode that I could talk about. That's why they're charging so low, is because they don't have the time, the background, the knowledge to charge professionally for their pricing. So they charge so low, and it's part of the imposter syndrome that you just don't believe that you belong there. And like I said, I'm so guilty of it. I'm guilty of it at my current job that took a lot of convincing myself that I needed to get a new job anyway, for a number of different reasons. But it's something that I know a lot of my friends go through, and I'm probably throwing her under the bus, but my sister, who is in her second year of being a music teacher, absolutely thought of her first year that she didn't belong there. She, despite being a fantastic teacher, and she got excellent grades in college, she worked incredibly hard for what she's gotten and how far she's come. And even in the past year, she's been coming leaps and leaps and bounds from where she was last year as a teacher, as a person, as a guidance to these kids. I can see the improvement just from being 2 hours away, and it's amazing. But even from her start, she was always on the phone with my mom, freaking out that she didn't deserve to be there. She shouldn't be there. She's not qualified. She's absolutely qualified. She is absolutely qualified for what she has now. She's doing, and it's just proof now that she's meant to be there, because she has absolutely flourished this past couple months. Granted, it is only end of October and the school year is very long, but she's got a rough bunch of kids for sure. But she's done so beautifully with her career choice. So even in my creative career choice, I see it in my musically talented teacher and sister. She experiences it all the time. And I actually have a couple statistics here for you. And that's just my personal experience, so I have a couple statistics just to prove that I actually did some research today. And then I can stand up here and talk about this stuff, which, again, leads into imposter syndrome. So, Psychology Magazine defines this imposter syndrome as a phenomenon that manifests when people feel like frauds, even if they are actually capable and well qualified, affects people both in the workplace and in the classroom. So that's exactly what it was. Like I said, finding of these studies cited in this article, and I'll include links and stuff below so you can actually, you know, fact check me, reveal that 20% of college students in the sample in the study suffered from very strong feelings of imposterism, and the researchers conducted interviews with students in an elite academic program to understand the various coping mechanisms students use to escape these feelings. One particular method stood out above the rest, and that was seeking social support from outside academic programs. So what that study is saying, that especially with students, that if you're feeling like you don't belong there, especially if you are in a mentally demanding program, that you should be asking other people for support. So as much as if you're an artist, if you're a designer, if you're a musician, as much as you spend all of your waking time with the kid, with the other people in your class, get out of that. They all are feeling the same thing you are. You guys are all comparing yourselves to each other. And is that's good for critique, bad for your mental state. So make sure that you have other friends and other majors that don't know what you're doing, that can see from an outsider's perspective, because Lord knows it helped me. In college, I had a very small group of fellow students in my degree, so it was maybe like 8 to 12 of us for 4 years straight in these classes, so we knew each other's work really, really well, and it was great for critiques, but there were just days where nobody would be able to understand exactly what I was going through. So I was reaching out to, to my roommates, actually. When I was feeling really down about what I was doing, I was reaching out to my roommates, to my friends. I had roommates that were teachers. I had roommates that were science majors, that were medical professional majors, that were going to be doctors. I had friends from other schools that were going into accounting and becoming lawyers. I have a friend and who's studying her, you've probably heard me talk about this a couple times, but she's studying to get her microbiology PhD at Notre Dame. And I would talk to her about what the heck I was doing, and I'd be showing her pictures, and she'd be like, there's no way in hell that I could do that. I don't know how you do that. What you do is amazing. And that would be the common factor between all of my friends. And I kept thinking that, oh, they don't know what they're talking about. They're just blown smoke. They're just trying to make me feel better, which is, like, good. They're your friends. They're supposed to be helping you feel better. But they were being honest that they had no idea what I was doing, that they saw how important it was to me, how important it was to society and the community, and they were seeing the great work that I was doing and how hard I was working, and they were seeing the steps that I was taking to be better. And they were being honest with me that I was doing well. And that was a relief to me to know that somebody is seeing the hard work that I'm doing, that I do belong here, I am meant to do these things. And it helped me in a ton of ways, and also a lot of therapy and some medication too. It was definitely a bonus and helped me a ton. So that was what Psychology Magazine suggests, that you reach out to other friends that aren't in your subject or aren't in your, maybe your co-working, like your career department or anything like that, that aren't familiar with what you do. And even now, without even me being a student, even now at my job, there's certain days where I really am worried that I'm not meant to be there, that I'm not doing what I'm supposed to. And I'm a brand and marketing specialist. So part of that degree I earned, like part of that title I earned with my degree, and the other part of the title I've just been learning on the go, which is awesome, but stresses me out. Really gives me some serious anxiety that I don't belong there, that I don't know as much as other people do that could have gotten the job. But I have to remind myself, I went through extensive interviews with this group. The people that hired me know what they're doing. And they picked me, specifically. They, out of a whole bunch of people, and I'm sure many different interviews and resumes, they picked mine for a reason. They saw something in me that I'm clearly not seeing, but they have the faith in me, and I have to remind myself that when I'm feeling down. But especially this week, I was working on projects and postcards, and I had to crank out like maybe 6 design projects in the span of a few days, and I was really feeling down on myself. I was tired. I was not even sure what I was designing anymore. It didn't feel natural, and I was probably just, like I said, tired. I need a nap. Much like my GoPro battery, I am dying. So I needed a break, but when I sent one of my projects off for approval to the department head, who was like student services or something like that, so she's on a whole other floor than me, and she got the thing and she sent it back, and it was like 5 minutes later that I got an email saying, this looks great, this is beautiful, greatly appreciate the work that you're doing, I can't wait to put this on the website, this is going to be great to hand out to our classmates, like all of our class students and teachers and stuff like that. So I got the compliment. I didn't realize that I was so putting myself down so much that I didn't realize that I was actually still putting out the good work, and other people were still seeing that. And as much as I might think I don't belong here, I at least have the validation from other people that I need, because I like attention and validation. I got that validation and attention from reaching out to the other people to get approval, make sure that it works, that it looks good, and they all told me, yes, it's great. You definitely know what you're doing. It's all you. You got this. And it was incredible, and I really appreciated it, and it's something that we all need to be mindful of, and it definitely helps reaching out to a friend, a family member that doesn't know what you're doing, or is familiar with what you do, but is not an expert in the field, so they are still able to give that outsider's perspective, because more often than not, you're gonna, whatever you're doing, you're gonna be either like teaching or not teaching, but showing off to other people that aren't in the field, and that you need the outside opinion, because more than likely the people that you are presenting to, or you're whatever you're putting out into the world, people aren't gonna know what you do, and half of your audience is not gonna be familiar with your work, and they're still gonna love it. You need that outside perspective. You don't always need the critic like whispering in your ear that it's not good enough, that you need to improve. That's essential. That is essential for a drive to push yourself to move forward and improve your work and critique yourself, but you can't be bringing yourself down. And I'm so guilty of doing it all the time, really all the time. You can ask any of my friends when I'm asking them for comfort and validation that I'm doing well, that I'm constantly putting myself down, second guessing, well, I should do this, this, and this, I'm not where I want to be, I should be doing this, like, all right, you need to slow your roll, slow down, and remember that what you have here is good. They think it's good. My friends think it's good. My family thinks it's good. It's good if it's good for my boss, if it's good for my clients, it's good enough for me. And then I submit the project, I move on, and I improve. I work on improving, and that's it. I don't beat myself up over it. I still do every now and then, but I have to make a conscious decision not to. So, also another part of my research that I found an article from Forbes talking about a research from Dr. Valerie Young in the book The Secret Thoughts of Successful Women. She talks about different types of imposter syndrome. So just listen real quick, and you can, and maybe you can identify with the five different ones that are here. And maybe you can identify that what you see in yourself, and can take that step to reach out to friends or family to get that validation. The perfectionist, they have such high expectations for themselves that even small mistakes will make them feel like a failure. So I identify with that for sure. There's the superwoman, superman. They put in longer hours, never take days off, and must succeed in all aspects of life in order to prove that they are the real deal. The natural genius, they're used to things coming easily, so when something is too hard or they don't master it on the first try, they feel shame and self-doubt. The soloist, they don't like to ask for help, so when they do, they feel like a failure or a fraud. And the expert, they continuously seek out additional certifications or training because they feel as though they will never know enough to be truly qualified. So, I don't know about you, but all five of those sounded like something that I've done. I've already talked about the perfectionist. I have such high expectations for myself that when I make mistakes, I hate it. I always am putting in longer hours and hardly taking days off, which is why I started telling you about the networking, the certifications, the extra hours for conferences, and all these extra tests that I'm taking on to make sure that I make myself, my clients, my friends and family happy. And I'm putting in these ridiculously long hours to make sure that I'm the real deal. And I was so happy that I took almost 3 days for a vacation, because I don't do that. And I need to, but I don't. And the natural genius thing, where I agree that I acknowledge the fact that I'm a smart person, and I was lucky enough to go to a really good school that pushed me constantly, and there were things that came really easy for me. So, and college was relatively easy, so it wasn't until the real world, when reality hit, that it was jarring to me, and all of a sudden I had all this shame and self-doubt. And again, and with the soloist, I felt like I couldn't ask for help. I felt like a failure. I had no idea what to do. I didn't want to ask for help. I didn't want people thinking that I was a loser. I didn't want them thinking that I didn't belong there if I was going to ask these stupid questions, which is not, there's no such thing as stupid questions. Not a thing. And then the expert, continually seek out additional certifications. So I'm in the process of working on one, and then I have a schedule to get three more certifications. So I am sitting here acknowledging the fact that I have a serious problem with imposter syndrome, but for me, I think I'm happy with my design skills. I am merely getting the marketing certifications to back up on my resume the proof that I have, that I can do these things. And I know I can do these things. I'm just getting the certifications to prove to other, to future clients, employers, whatever, that I can do these things, that it might not be in my degree, but I can still do these things. So I see the pros and cons of all of these, and the point, the whole idea is that these things are good, but only in moderation. If you push yourself too hard, if you have incredibly high expectations, if you're running yourself into the ground trying to be a success, you're gonna burn out. And I can feel myself burning out, and I'm in the process of burning out. So I'm in the process of taking a break, and as soon as I stop recording here, I'm gonna take a nap, and I won't regret it at all. I will take a nap. And sometimes it is a matter of maybe I don't cook that night. Maybe a DoorDash is gonna be my best friend because I'm too tired to cook. I don't wanna cook. I need to take a break. And that's fine. Take the break. You need to take the break. You are not a robot, for crying out loud. And I have to tell myself this all the time, and I have friends that tell me this all the time to remind me that I'm being an idiot. I need to slow down. So I hope this is at least a little bit, you can be a little bit reflective from this episode. I know a lot of people, especially the ones that are high functioning with certain mental illnesses, have a tendency to have this as well, because they know that they have something that's a little off up here, but they are still really smart, they're still really talented at what they do, and they have these positions or certifications or jobs or whatever that they feel that they don't belong because of something that's going on up here. You need to know that that's not true. You absolutely belong there. You need to keep moving forward just within reason. Push yourself to be better, but make sure that you have the boundaries to know when you're tired and when you're burnout, and to take a step back and stop. So that's pretty much what I've got here in a nutshell. Just as a reminder that I am not a medical professional, I highly encourage you guys to seek the help that you need, whether it's a friend, family member, doctor, psychiatrist, psychologist, whatever it is that you need to do to get yourself to be better, please do. There's no shame in therapy, not even a little bit. There's no shame in therapy. There's no shame in taking medication as long as it's prescribed by a licensed professional. Please take care of yourselves, guys. What you have to give the world is incredible and so much different and completely unique to you. Nobody else can replicate it. Please, please take care of yourselves. I've got some awesome people coming up for the next couple broadcasts. I will be taking a couple breaks for the holidays, so I won't be working through the holidays. So I might be skipping a couple episodes towards the end of November and December, so bear with me. But I am working on a wonderful 2020 schedule for you guys, and I hope that you'll stick around. Thank you guys so much. I hope you have a great rest of the day, and I hope to see you next episode. Bye.